circle back on that. We're going to deal a couple of weeks on building the sanctuary. Old Testament book of Chronicles, the first one, starting at the 22nd chapter, 17th verse. Amen. The word of God reads from the NET version, David ordered all the officials of Israel to support his son Solomon. He told them, "The Lord your God is with you. He has made you secure on every side. For he handed over to me the inhabitants of the region, and the region is subdued before the Lord and his people. Now seek the Lord your God wholeheartedly and with your entire being. Get up and build the sanctuary of the Lord God. Then you can bring the ark of the Lord's covenant and the holy items dedicated to God's service into the temple that is built to honor the Lord." But the subject this morning, it would be, where can we keep the ark? Where can we keep the ark? Now, I want you to understand that before the temple was built, David had a burning desire to move God from his tents to a permanent structure, a place where they could worship and where he felt was worthy of his God. In other words, his God had meant so much to him that he wanted to give him a home where it was permanent and where they could be, where he could be worshipped. The problem was that he had too much blood on his hands. And so God said, "It's well that you want to do that, but let Solomon build it. Let Solomon build the temple. Your thoughts about me are admired and adored. But I need for your son to do it because he doesn't have the blood that you have on your hands." So David ultimately wanted a place to keep the ark and the holy items. The question becomes, why was there such a burning desire? I mean, God had the tabernacle built. He had the tent built the way he wanted it. He had this moving location. When they moved, it moved. But they had now been placed where he wanted them to be. Amen? So there was no more moving around. So therefore, David felt as if God needed to be in the temple. Why would my house be better than God's house? And I had to ask, where can we keep the ark? Where would you put something that was that special? Where would you find a place where you could keep something that's that special? Well, you can't bring something precious where you believe it won't be kept. Hear what I'm saying? You're not going to take your most precious thing and put it somewhere where it's in danger, where it will not be kept. And so for us, we have to begin to look at, what is the ark for us? What does the ark mean to us? It had to mean a whole lot for David to say what he said, and had to mean even more for Solomon to go through with building the temple. They both had to agree that this ark was special. A place where we could find God and know where God is at all times, even though we know that he's omnipresent and all over. The fact is, I want to build a house that's magnificent for God. I want to build a place where when you see it, you understand that there's something special going on up in here. This is a place where I can bring all of my treasures, all of my thoughts, all of my pains, my problems, my excitements, you name it, It's a place where I can go and I can feel comfortable when I get there, that I'll be received and I'll be welcomed. But I know that my most personal part is safe there. They wanted to build a temple. They didn't want the tent no longer, because the tent was temporary. When you got something that precious, you want a permanent place. David ordered all the officials of Israel to support his son Solomon. He told them, "The Lord your God is with you. He has made you secure on every side, for he handed over to me the inhabitants of the region, and the region is subdued before the Lord and his people." God has made sure that we are now secure. He has taken everything, every obstacle out of the way. So we don't have no more excuses as to why. He has subdued everything. He has given us the land. He has given us the place. He has provided for us more than enough. So don't worry about that part of it. Let's focus on now building his temple. Because you can build now without attacks. Because there were no attacks anymore coming from either side, because God had subdued all of it. So now we can focus in on building the temple with no worries. He said, "But I need you to seek your Lord, the God, wholeheartedly and with your entire being." Seek him. Not ask about him. Not infer. Seek. In order to seek means to know. Learn. Understand who he is. Wholeheartedly with your entire being. That's every ounce of you, what you have. Every ounce of your fiber. All of your being. All of your might. That means that everything you do should revolve around the God who you serve. Your thought process, your laying down, your getting up, your sitting down, your eating, your sleeping, there should be a process that God is always involved in. That's my whole being. That's my putting my everything into it. You know, when you want to be good at something, you put everything into it. When Michael Jordan got cut from basketball, he put his whole being into being a better basketball player. That means every waking hour he would shoot everything he could, he did to increase his ability to be better so that he would never get cut again. Christianity is the same way. We need to pour our whole heart into God, because it's God that has rescued us from our impending danger. It was God who rescued us. Nobody else can rescue me from heaven or from hell. No one can reach down to the pits. No one can stand in the gap for me. No one can speak up for me. No one blot. No one died for me. So my whole being has to go into knowing him. Not just on Sunday. Not just on Bible study. But 365 of an entire year that he gives should be focused mostly on knowing God. Because that's how we deal with our situations. So he says, "I need you to seek him out wholeheartedly with everything you got. Because if you do, I'm not worried about the temple. Because you ain't going to bring something precious where you don't believe it's going to be kept." In other words, he wants the whole nation to be a part of the process, to belong, to fit in, to have something to say, because they are a part of building this temple. You got all the leaders, all the priests, everything, whatever Solomon needs, handle it. But I know that if you love God first, then Solomon won't have no issues. See, if you don't love God with all your heart, then whoever the leader is that he has placed there is going to have a problem. Because you can't focus on the leader. You got to focus on God. If I love the Lord, then I know I'm going to do what's required of me. See, I don't move because the leader moves. I move because God has instructed me to follow him first and then the one who he sets before me. And as long as the leader is doing what he's supposed to be doing based upon God, I don't have a problem. So put your whole heart into knowing who God is. So number one, when you hear the message, you know that's from the Lord. It ain't a problem because your spirit identifies, your body recognizes, your mind says, this is of God because I know him. But now if I'm half-hearted, and I don't know him completely, and I don't do anything to go beyond myself, then I can easily walk out on a leader. I can easily not fulfill my obligations. I will not bring what's precious to me because I don't believe it'll be kept. So I'm not going to take that most inner part and place somewhere where I don't feel like. This is why we have such absences in and people missing, not just here, but all across the country. We don't know God wholeheartedly. We don't know him for the real God that he is. We know the superficial God. We know where we can go and get our ears tickled and our toes painted and things like that. We know those things where they will stroke our backs and our heads and our egos, and we go to them. Even though you know that the man of God or the woman of God is not right, it does not stop you from going there because there you have no accountability. Wow. And you understand that if you have no accountability there, you have brought nothing precious there. Wow. If you have brought nothing precious there, that's why you can kind of come and go as you please. Wow. You have no attachment. You have no lovingness. You have nothing there that will keep you or tie you down to the temple because nothing is precious there. Wow. I don't come because I come to hear this particular man, or I come to please God. I come because it looks good on my resume. Yeah. Where do you go to? Well, I go to Sister So and So's or Brother So and So's church. Well, yeah, we have about 10,000 members. Yeah. Where do you go to church? What do you mean? I just told you where I went to. How are you a part of the church? Yeah. Because unless you got something precious there, it ain't a church. Get up and build the sanctuary of the Lord. Get up implies what? Action. Get up and build his sanctuary. Then you can bring the Ark of the Lord's Covenant and the holy items dedicated to God's service into the temple that is built to honor the Lord. So when I walk around these walls and I seen that it was lacking, I began to realize that there was nothing precious here. And God began to stir on my heart. We need to restore the temple. But you can't restore it without the people. He didn't just say, Solomon, go build me a temple. First thing he said is he ordered all the officials of Israel to what? Support. So in other words, this is all inclusive. Solomon can't build squat by himself. He needs everybody to take part in the process, because they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant. Now the Ark has kept them, pillar fire by night, pillar cloud by day, opened up Red Seas, closed lost enemies, fed them manna on high, gave them quail. The Ark has done an awful lot of stuff, so the Ark has become precious in their sight. And it's God's throne. So powerful that if you touch it the wrong way, you're going to die. Only certain people could pick it up You could never touch it. Because it was the presence of the Holy One, and you would have to be holy in order to touch it. But it was precious. And it deserved its place, and its place should have been what? Magnificent. How is it that your house looks better than God's house? How can you take care of yourself more than you take care of the Creator? When it's the Creator who takes care of you. Us. Every day we wake up, He smiles at us. The question is, throughout the day, do we cause Him to frown? I mean, He smiles with knowing that I've given my child another day to get things right. I'm excited about waking him up this morning. But I'm wondering if he's troubled by the time he lays you back down. Who controls that? We do. Because we don't value enough of what he's given us. We want what everybody else has, what everybody else wants, what everybody else got. But we don't value what he's given us because we have not known him wholeheartedly. See, we worry about the wrong things. We focus on the wrong stuff because that's what the world says. Well, you should be concerned about this and you should be concerned about that. We should be concerned about what God is concerned about. He said, I'll meet every one of your needs. So why do you keep wanting what so-and-so got? Because it looked better than what you had. You got a holy pair of pants? Be thankful for the holy pair of pants. At least you got something. Some folks don't have no pants. My home just a one bedroom. I got 20 kids stuck up in here. At least you got a house. You could be 20 kids and homeless. So we got to learn how to appreciate, but we can't appreciate until we make it what? Precious. And then when we make it precious, you want to do what? The best. When you get married and you have children, children are what? Precious. So you want to do what? The best you can. You want to put them in a place where I know they'll be kept. Yeah, I don't want to bring children into the world and I got holes in the roof. When it rains at night, it pours and drips all over their heads. Unless there's nothing else I can do about it. But if they become precious, you're going to do everything in your power to make sure I patch some holes up. At least in their rooms, because what's in that room is precious, and I want to make sure it's kept. Now, if I don't care about it, then I'll let it run down. But my room is nice. My room got all of the latest, and I don't have any issues. You don't have nothing precious. First Chronicles 29:6. Let me read this for you. You got to understand what it means when it becomes precious. What it means when they understand how important the Ark of the Covenant is and how important it is to build the temple. First Chronicles 29, starting with verse 6, says, the leaders, I just want to stop right there. The leaders, head of households, people who take the brunt if something is wrong, those who speak for a group of people, leaders of the families, and the leaders. So we just brought in more leaders, right? Because leaders have what? Leaders. The church isn't a church by itself. They are leaders over top of leaders who keep leaders in check. the commanders of units of 1,000 and 100, and the supervisors of the kings contributed willingly. It's another action. It wasn't forced. It wasn't begged. They gave willingly, because what they were giving to was precious to them. You following me? They donated for the service of God's temple 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. All, that word all, you know, all means all, and that's all that all means. That's all. It didn't say some, but all, who possessed precious stones, donated them to the treasury of the Lord's temple, which was under the supervision of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people were delighted with their donations, for they contributed to the Lord with a willing attitude. King David also was happy. So it's one thing to get the order. It's another thing to follow it. But you're not going to follow it until what you believe you have is precious, and you want that precious thing kept. And you don't want it kept in any old thing. So the temple becomes the place where we worship God. This is where the ark resides. This is where, no matter when you come through those doors, you should be able to see and feel God. And if you're quiet long enough, you can hear them too. Because God speaks in every one of our lives. The problem is we don't hear because we got too many voices. Too many voices coming in our ears telling us what we should be doing when we just say, shh. Be quiet. I'm trying to hear God. I done heard all your mess. But now I need to hear from the one who really got something to say. Do you realize folks don't have nothing to say? Because they don't know nothing. We know in part. We prophesy in part. So that means anybody, even when you talk to me, I'm going to try to give you half the story of what I realize and what I know. But God knows 100% of the story. So while he can use me as a portion, you got to be able to take what you hear and still hold it up to God. You can't just say, well, all right, for a grain of salt, there it is. Rev said this, that settles it. I don't settle a thing. I'm giving you what God gave me to give to you, but that don't mean he gave me the whole picture. So when you get something out there, hold it up to God. Reason why we don't is why. We don't have nothing precious. He's not precious to us yet. How is it that a whole nation can give willingly, and I'm going to go into it as the weeks go, more of what they've done, but they had to believe in what they were doing. In every step of your walk, you got to believe where you're walking. Abraham could not have left if he didn't believe that God was going to provide all of his needs. Now, he stumbled along the way, but he still had enough sense to leave and go and let God lead. We don't have that much. Never did I imagine us coming to a point where we would be struggling. Because this is God's house. And these are God's people. But I had to keep wondering why or how is it that we struggle and we know a risen Savior, but those who don't struggle. Why does Satan's house have plenty and God's house don't have nothing? It's not precious. See, I've seen places where it's precious. When you walk through the door, you can feel it. It's precious. I know some folks you can't pry out of their church, which is a danger because that's beyond precious. When God says to make sure you fellowship, see, you can become a fanatic for the wrong thing. But when you're precious and you know who God is, you realize that wherever I go, I should feel his presence. Yeah. But when a place becomes more bigger than he is, then I question if his presence is there. Because you're not looking no longer at the word, you're more into the person. Yeah. And we see what happens when people fall. So you got to be able to navigate what's truly precious in your life, and you won't understand that until you know who he is. To know who he is means that you must do what? Study. You got to know him. And then when you know him, you got to do what? Talk to him. How many people do you know you just don't talk to? And if you don't talk to, do you still know him? Oh, wait a minute. You just said you knew him, but you don't talk to him. And if you don't talk to him for a while, that person that you knew back then ain't the same. Because you don't know him anymore. They done been through some different things, and so when they meet you again, they not the same. So in order for me to know God, I got to talk to him daily. I got to understand. I got to study my whole heart. I got to know who he is and why he's so precious and why his temple is so important. That's all this is saying. You make the choices in your lives. Did you realize that? God don't make them. He lays the path before us. But we decide what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, when we're going to do it, and why we're going to do it. And so what I'm trying to say is that unless you tie it back in, why is it that a building for so long would go unkept? You got nothing vested. There are a few who are vested. But they can't do everything. They do the best that they can do. But when the whole body is vested, it don't get to this. Shingles falling down, water coming through basement, all of this stuff. Even the pledges that we took wasn't all kept. Some kept the pledge, others, it faded off. For whatever reason, but the bottom line is it wasn't precious enough. Say, but wait a minute, Ray, that ain't true. You know, God knows my circumstances. He knows everything about us. And he knows what's most precious. But do you got to realize if it's really that precious to you, you're going to do whatever it takes to get the job done. Even if it means going beyond that scheduled time. Say, well, I ain't here for this period, but I'm going to still keep until I meet my goal. I'm going to get mine in because I had given a pledge to take care of the building. Quiet. What's precious to you? Where can we keep the ark? Where do you call home other than your immediate house? Do you consider this place your home? If you don't, it's not precious. Do you bring here what God has blessed you with, and do you give a portion back to him? If you don't, guess what? It's not precious. If you can miss Sunday after Sunday and it don't affect you, it's not precious. If you can see things that need to be done, but you won't speak up because you don't want to be held accountable, it ain't precious. If you can't take the time to make sure you're here for Sunday school, get everything you can get from the God who you're trying to so wholeheartedly know, it ain't precious. See, you can do all the causes in the world. You can do whatever you want to try to make yourself look buffeted and feel good about yourself. But until you humble yourself and commit yourself, let me help you out. Your relationship with God, it ain't precious. Because those who believe is precious, you ain't got to ask. You can see that it's precious. If the word of God is precious to you, you know it's precious. You know because they won't stop talking about it. I can't stop talking about how good God has been to me. I can't stop talking about where God has brought me from and where he has me now and where he's got me going. Because it's precious. I don't mind giving all of I got to build up his house because it's precious. I want to go to his presence. He's provided me a place, so I'm going to give everything I got to what God has given me. But it's precious. If it ain't, even what I'm saying right now means absolutely nothing. See, if the words prick your heart, then you realize that there's something precious I'm saying. If it don't do nothing for you, and you be like, I'll be glad when this is over, let me help you out. It's not precious. See, you can go through the motions, but until it becomes precious, why come? You need to go where you feel like I'm getting all that God has for me. We don't have a choir right now. We ain't got no musicians right now. But if you still come in and you worship and you love the Lord, it's because he's precious to you. If you need the music, if you need this and you need that, he ain't precious. Because the most important thing ain't the song. It's the word. The song don't heal. The song don't change. The word heals. The word breathes life to dead situations. A song just soothes you over for the moment. But a song only plays for about 4 minutes and 35 seconds. Then you got to play another song. The word goes on and on and on and on, and you'll never get enough of it if it's precious. A book with a binder and some pages, just like any other book. Right? I've seen books like this and bigger than this with a lot of writings in it. But it means nothing to me. But a book that becomes precious, a book that I can hide in my heart, a book that'll speak to my dead situations and give life to them, a book that'll change my whole existence while I'm on this earth. A book that'll feed me, clothe me, cover me, put my mind right. But unless it's precious to me, I'm not even going to put it somewhere where it won't be kept, will I? I have it in a corner somewhere, collecting dust. Ask yourself, is the God I serve precious? And if he is, do I have him in his appropriate place? If not, I got to get them there. Your children should know how precious God is to you. Your friends should know how precious God is. Is he in your speech? Is he in your dialect? Is he in your walk? Is he in your talk? Is he in your dress? Is he in your appearance? Is he in your thoughts? Are you surrounded with his presence? Because he said that the minute you accepted me, I came in with you. And there's a difference about the Holy Spirit in you and being endowed with his power. That's the difference. He comes in you when you accept him. The question is, do you have the power? Well, you don't get the power until he become precious. And he don't become precious until you know him with all of your being. So that everything you do determines how close you are to him. So therefore, it's not enough just to have the Holy Spirit with me, but it's everything to have the power of him who walks with me. Because if I got the power, they say I can move some mountains. If I got the power, they say that I can do things that ordinarily I would not be able to do. If I got the power, I got all strength. I got everything I need to be able to make it every day of my life because I got his power. See, just being there ain't enough. You got people next to you who are there with you, but they can't help you out. They can't do nothing for you. They say, hey, man, look, I'm with you. Yeah, you with me, but you ain't really for me. I need the Spirit not only to be with me, but to give me the power that he possesses, because that's the only way I can walk through some dark situations. Huh? You ever had any mountains you can't climb? Any rivers you can't cross? It's because you don't have the power of the one who rides with you. We got to tap in. Once the temple was built and the ark was placed, the power for Israel was complete. Did you realize that the ark had so much power that when it was not in the Israelites' hands, it either brought fruition or damnation to the one who had it? That's how much power was in it. Because you know it got stolen from them. You know it was taken from them. And other folks prospered and got mad when they came and got it back. That's how much power is in the God that you serve. But we'll never know that until he becomes precious. And not just one, but everybody. Can you imagine a world where everybody comes together for a common cause, a purpose, a goal? That's this. That's this building, this church. God placed us here for service. Not for sitting. Service. Now ask yourselves, how much service have we been to anybody? That's an issue. But one can't do it by himself. It takes the whole body. And the word talks about it. The body is all inclusive. You can't function without part of the body. When I walk in there, I come in with all my body, don't I? Whatever God has given you, let's come together. And don't think that you're too small, because take away the pinky toe and see what happens when you try to walk. Smallest thing on your foot, let it be gone and see what happens. So everybody is significant. You got to find where you fit in and how you are significant. And you won't do that until you make it precious. Your walk, your talk, and everything else. This building reflects who we are as a church. And right now, it ain't looking pretty good. Your building should reflect what's going on the inside. And if that's what's going on the inside, we got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do. We got children coming up. We got ministries. We have before we shut down, we had Bible studies with no kids in them whatsoever. No Sunday school, no kids. People to teach, nobody to teach. Adults come up in here, a few adults up in here. Bible study, same thing. Why it's not booming? Why don't we have multiple classes for multiple levels of Christianity? On Bible study, why not have the adult along with the kids? Bring your children too. How come we've never had a vacation Bible school during the summertime? Because we don't have the people to come in who were willing to do the work, because ain't a thing in this place precious. You got to beg for ministries to be done, for somebody to get up there to learn and stuff, because it ain't precious. Whatever, I don't care if we get a CD or video or not. I ain't going to buy it. I ain't listening to it. It's not precious. And I'm saying that if you want God to move in your life, you got to make him precious. If not, I got one simple question for you, and I'm done. Where can we keep the ark? The doors of the church are open this morning. If you don't have a place to keep the ark, then you're saying to God, I found no place that's precious enough to bring it to. There's not a place more precious that I can bring myself and give 100%. Then my challenge to you is to go somewhere where you can. Go somewhere where you can give God 100% of what he's given to you. Because that's all that God asks. When God died on the cross, he didn't give 50%.